If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Beyond the Paper Gown, hosted by Dr. Mitzi Crocover, helps people think critically about women's health issues, encouraging them to question and explore the complexities of healthcare systems, scientific advancements, and societal norms. There's a really cool episode that you should check out called Midday Menopause App, and that's about how AI and sensor technology can provide personalized interventions to manage menopause symptoms effectively. Check out Beyond the Paper Gown on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Highway to Health. I'm Jeremy Quinby. This is episode 137 of the podcast. If you're new to the show, I want to welcome you. Highway to Health is your place for trusted health guidance and support. Whether you're looking to improve your health or just seeking ways to stay well, we're here for you. This growing community is on a mission to improve our state of being and experience together on the planet. And if you love the conversation and insight that you get here on the show, consider becoming a health amplifier. You can support this project for as little as the price of a cup of coffee by going to patreon.com/highwaytohealth. Your support is more helpful than you can imagine. So this is another episode in our series on newborn and maternal care. And it's a special one for a number of reasons. I happen to have some family, clients, and friends involved in the development, grant writing, and funding of this project. A big shout out to Bridget Ryan and Renee Torbenson for their effort and dedication to this project for more than a decade. The Minnesota Breast Milk Bank is one of just 30 human breast milk banks in North America. And having worked in newborn care now for close to 18 years myself, primarily around lactation support, I understand the necessity of ensuring that babies are given every opportunity to thrive, especially babies who are born prematurely or with health complications. I got the opportunity to tour the facility this past summer and see firsthand the entire process from the drop of donor milk to storage in the coolers, the pasteurization process, testing, packaging, and volunteers picking up the milk for delivery to area hospitals. If you're interested in seeing this for yourself, we've put together a video of all of this on Highway to Health podcast channel on YouTube. And there's a link here in the show notes for your convenience. Included in this donor program, they've also created a bereavement program. It's more common than we're aware of for parents to lose a baby during childbirth or shortly after. So the Breast Milk Bank started a program for mothers who have lost a child to be able to continue to donate their milk to newborns in need. As Alex Nicolo, the bereavement donor coordinator, explains, this can be an incredibly healing part of the process for families who are recovering from a loss. And I get to speak with her here at the beginning, along with Mackenzie and Adam, parents who share their experience with me of continuing to donate after the loss of their son, Micah. And I finish with a longer discussion with Linda Deck, Executive Director of the Minnesota Breast Milk Bank, an international board-certified lactation consultant herself, about the importance of having access to donor milk in our communities. Please enjoy my conversation with the folks from Minnesota Breast Milk Bank. So tell me a little bit about the bereavement program here.
So here at Minnesota Milk Bank for Babies, just like many other nonprofit milk banks, we offer a program here for parents who have lost their babies or a baby, and we have a bereavement program, which is very special. For any donor who has lost a baby, we can take their milk for other infants who are in need of it, any other medically fragile baby. And we can also use that milk if, you know, that donor would like to go through the process. We would screen them just like any other donor that we would have as a potential donor. Or we can use that milk for research. We would use that milk for things like calibrating and testing equipment, training new staff, lab staff members, okay. Or even for research studies. So we can use that milk, and that milk is used, and those recipients are benefited from that research and from any milk that is donated.
Okay, very cool. And how long has the bereavement program been going on?
Bereavement has been on for about 3 years since the Minnesota Milk Bank for Babies started.
Oh, since the beginning.
Right. So it's been, we have a memorial butterfly quilt here,
yeah.
Where we have many, many butterflies that are on our quilt right now. And we're actually in the process of making another quilt for our other butterflies that will come in the future. Yeah. And we always know that they do come. And then also, I wanted to speak a little bit about the process of donating milk and how that can be very therapeutic for those donors that do choose to donate after losing a baby, and how important it can be in terms of giving those donors purpose to get up every single day,
yeah.
To take care of themselves, to eat well, to sleep well. Oftentimes we know in that grief process it can be very difficult.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, it's easy to slip into depression and not have a purpose to wake up every day.
Yeah.
And this gives those donors, as we've heard many donors explain to us, that it gives them that purpose to get up, to take care of themselves, so that they can go on and give to other babies in need, yeah. And help other families.
I know just from treating, I've done a lot of work, sort of pre and postnatal work with mothers, and then also with newborns, and I do a lot of work around lactation support. So I know too that I happen to be on the front lines of seeing when there are postpartum issues going on, and a lot of times it's hormonal in nature. Mm-hmm. And so those shifts that happen, I think for mothers who have lost a child, to be able to continue to go through the kind of finish that whole process, I think also does a lot for them physically and mm-hmm. kind of emotionally, spiritually as well.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and we see that.
Yeah.
We see that. And they tell us firsthand that experience and how it helped them so much.
Yeah.
And how they kind of come through that process come through that and say just how much it helped them.
Yeah.
And it's the little things. It's, when they're pouring the milk in the containers, how honoring their babies by, whether it's a splash of milk that drops because that milk should have gone to their baby, or just taking that moment when they're, in that process to just grieve,
mm-hmm.
to cry and
yeah.
shedding a tear. It's those little steps that can mean the world of a difference for them.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes to show the beauty of that milk donation and how special it is and how special our program is.
Yeah.
And, on our memorial butterfly quilt, we have these beautiful butterflies that are handmade by volunteers. And on that butterfly, there's a side where it's embroidered with the baby's name, and then the other side, it's their date of birth. And those parents can come in and they can hang up a butterfly for their baby in honor mm-hmm. of their baby. And the process of donating milk, and they hang it up on our butterfly quilt. And they also get to keep a quilt or a butterfly at home in honor of that child.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole process is part of that grieving process, and it's that healing journey for them.
Yeah.
And it's very special, and that's what makes our milk bake stand out, is we offer that program to honor those babies and to honor the parents
yeah.
who give to others in need.
In any thoughts on showing this quilt, outside of here at some point? I mean, is there a place where you guys could foresee this being?
Yeah, I think at a location where we could display this quilt and our other quilts that are going to come, where there might be a place where it's a community place where families can come and gather and honor their baby by looking at the butterfly
mm-hmm.
and just being together. And having a space to come, to grieve, to come back with memories, and just to see something up on the quilt as a memorial and memory of their child.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the time to do this with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And here's my conversation with donors, Mackenzie and Adam. I know you guys started, you donated for your first child too, is that right?
We donated with my second child.
Oh, second child, okay.
So with our first child, I did donate. I just didn't know of the milk bank at that point.
So I donated to
just other moms in need. And then when I had my second child, I was like, there's gotta be an easier way to do this so I don't have to be finding people to take this milk off my
yeah.
hands. Because I had such an oversupply with her.
Yeah.
And so I found the milk bank with Alia, and I started donating then. And then when we found out we were pregnant with my third, I wanted to be able to donate again.
Okay.
And that didn't change when we got his diagnosis.
Okay.
And so then that was just like I needed to have a project or something to do while I was home on maternity leave.
Yeah.
To be able to do something for him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I only really donated here, except for the week that I was on medication that couldn't be donated here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what has it been like to be part of something like this after a child has passed to be able to donate and still be involved like this?
It was just really nice to be able to donate and still feel like Micah was doing something for somebody. It was healing for me to be able to pump and like know that I was still having that milk come in and to be able to give that milk back to somebody without, like, even though Micah wasn't there, somebody could still use it. And that was, I mean, milk is so precious, and there's a lot of babies that are desperately seeking it, and the moms want to find it so badly.
Yeah.
Just to be able to do something for him that wasn't necessarily for him.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. It's so cool of you guys to do. I mean, because I've been working around lactation support for a long time, I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of babies who are struggling, and my daughter actually had meningitis as a 12-day-old baby, so we went through a process of all sorts of things in the hospital for a month, and to be able to get, we actually got donor milk at that point for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I know a little bit about it from that point of view as well.
My best friend's twins were in the NICU for 70 days. Oh, and so she talked a lot about the NICU, the donor milk that she had to use at that point.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is something that I can help with, because I have the supply to be able to do it, and I want to be able to give back. And her twins were, like, they're just a little bit older than my daughter. So when I had Alia, then it was really easy to find that, because Austria had talked about it so much when her twins were in the NICU.
Yeah. Well, it's very cool. And thank you for taking a little time to go through this so other people know that this is even a possibility. And we got a little film of you guys putting up your butterfly in the quilt, which is such a cool thing. So thank you. I appreciate it. And now for my conversation with Linda Deck. I went through the website, and I loved the pictures of the whole staff as babies. I just felt like there was something about that, you know, to be able to look at this group of people and think about, these are all, you know, it's obviously you guys from your past, but think about, you know, the future of babies as being like these important contributors. I just thought that was such a great thing to do. Whose idea was that?
Thank you. I think it was a team effort and input about when we were putting our website together and doing a website refresh.
Yeah.
We looked at ways how we could, you know, engage with our audience and those who are interested enough to look us up. And I think as a nonprofit startup, we were looking for ways to be interesting and fun. And this idea came up, and we're certainly not the first to do it, obviously, but it was fun to get that those pictures in from everyone, from staff members, and just to realize that, yes, we all were babies at one point, and to share a little bit about who we are and what we do.
So tell me a little bit about the beginning of this project, because I remember hearing about it in like 2014 or 2015. Is that kind of about when the grant work started for it?
Actually, it was in 2012 when a group of very dedicated volunteers, mostly lactation consultants and providers, nurses and educators in this area said, you know, we should have our own milk bank here.
Yeah.
We have a lot of moms with a lot of milk.
Yeah.
And that interest started, it took them 6 years to raise enough funds to educate the providers and the public about the safety and the importance of human donor milk. And after about 6 years of fundraising, they were able to locate and build out and lease a starter site, the one that we're in now. And to get things going, to do the build out, to buy the equipment, to train the staff, to become accredited by the Human Milk Banking Association of North America. And then in Minnesota, we are also licensed by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture as a food manufacturer.
Okay. Yeah.
So all those pieces had to come into play and be put into place before we could start dispensing milk to hospitals and to the public. So it took, several years for that to happen.
And I know there aren't very many of these, because at the time, I think I was introduced to the lactation consultants at North Memorial, who I've actually been collaborating work with ever since I met them. But Just for anybody who might be interested in the, because this podcast will go beyond the borders of Minnesota, and there just aren't very many in the U.S. I think before this, there was one in Iowa. Was that the closest one?
Is the next closest one. There's with the Human Milk Banking Association of North America, there are 30 milk banks located in Canada and in the United States. Okay. There's one now in Minnesota, and usually it's by state or by region. There's a few states that have two milk banks, but those are the larger states as well. Okay. So each one of us is a nonprofit, standalone, or sometimes in hospitals, milk bank established whose mission is to improve infant health outcomes by ensuring that medically vulnerable babies have access to safely pasteurized donor human milk for families whose mom's milk supply is in low supply or just unavailable.
Yeah.
'Cause as we know, preterm babies, they have very fragile and underdeveloped organ systems.
Yeah.
This pasteurized donor milk has been shown by research to reduce the incidence of a specific disease in particular called necrotizing enterocolitis, which is a disease of the gut, and it takes these babies out and is a major cause of death. So having donor milk, pasteurized donor milk, reduces that risk at least by half. And because of that, it's also used for other medical conditions, such as heart issues, renal failure, intolerance to formula. There's just some babies who do not do well on cow's milk-based formula.
Yeah.
So human donor milk then can bridge that gap.
Yeah.
So by having that, because of that, the Academy of Pediatrics recommends that pasteurized donor milk be used for very low birth weight infants and preterm infants until their mom's own milk is available as the next best option after mom's own milk.
So going back to the to starting this out, do you have any idea what the number was, what the amount of funds were to get the equipment, to start putting together a staff? I'm sure you have some sense of what it was at the beginning.
Yes, it was about $200,000. They recommended much more than that.
Right, I'm sure.
So there were a lot of resources and donations that were given, and loans and things like that that were taken out to get this place up and running. And then when we did, when we started dispensing to hospitals, then we were able to begin supporting and generate income that way.
Okay. So do the hospitals provide funding back to you for providing milk? Okay.
Yeah. Right now, currently, it is $4.50 an ounce and that covers the processing fee.
Gotcha.
As you've seen through the tour here, this takes a facility that holds freezers and walk-in freezers and equipment and a staff, trained staff who are meet accreditation and licensing standards for food safety. And the facility to be able to house it all.
Yeah.
And all of that costs us funds and resources. So at $4.50 an ounce, yes, we know
it seems pretty reasonable, actually.
It does, okay.
Yeah. I mean, just considering what I've just seen as far as the process that it has to go through.
Right.
For safety.
And this is what's so wonderful about having you come in and allowing us to share what we do and what it takes to do it.
Yeah.
So thank you for that opportunity, because we're honored to be able to share a little bit about what we do.
So what tends to motivate people to spend time and energy donating?
Yeah. Well, many parents whose baby receive pasteurized donor milk in the hospitals are so appreciative of having that resource available to them for their own baby that they want to give back to other families who may be in need of some milk when their baby is born.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
They look at our bottle, they see the label on it, and they say, hey, there's a milk bank in Minnesota. If I can do this, I would like to do that
as
well.
Oh, that's great.
We get a lot of our donors that way who reach out to us and just want to share. So they have a little extra milk. We have some requirements, and you can look those up on our website. We ask for a minimum of 150 ounces,
okay.
And that will help us cover the cost it takes to process their milk and test their testing, the milk testing and things like that, and then enough to pool into our batches. So, they're appreciative for that. And, given that we have some of the highest breastfeeding rates in the country, in Minnesota.
Is that right?
We do. According to the CDC's breastfeeding report, breastfeeding initiation in Minnesota is at 90%.
Wow.
So it gives us a larger pool of donors to draw from, which is great.
And so can you explain kind of what the process is or what you tend to have to guide people through as far as, let's say you have your mother who has an oversupply. Mm-hmm. Do they contact you and then kind of get a sheet of different kinds of things that they have to, be willing to do as far as safeguards and testing and that kind of stuff, and then how to freeze it and how to get it to you?
Yes. Yes. So what we do here, we collect extra milk from lactating parents who have more milk than what their own babies need. And so to ensure the safety and the quality of the donor milk, we screen the donors by phone interview. And the interview is very similar to what a blood donor would go through in their interview. Same, very similar types of questions. And then we test the donor's blood for five different communicable diseases, such as HIV, syphilis, hepatitis, those kinds. And then we, once we do that, we go through an approval process. We actually reach out to the donor's provider to ask them if there's any concerns or any issues. And if everything looks good, then they become an approved donor. And once we transport their milk here, then we pool 3 to 5 donors together to even out the nutrient content that we tend to see amongst different donors, anywhere between 14 to 27 calories an ounce.
Okay.
By pooling them together, it standardizes and evens out the nutrient content to somewhere around 19 or 20 calories per ounce, sometimes 22. Once we do that, we pasteurize the milk using the Holder pasteurization method. It takes up, the milk is submerged for 30 minutes at 62.5 degrees Celsius, then refrigerated and frozen. We sample each batch for bacterial growth, and that goes out to an external lab to do that. And if it comes back negative, we will then be able to dispense that milk to hospitals. In the meantime, if a donor would like to continue donating, we ask that she donate milk that's less than 6 months of age when it's pumped, because that gives us time here to get it in, transport it to the milk bank, and to thaw it, pasteurize it, test it, process it, and then get it out to hospital so that there's still time before the expiration date to do that. So by having that, this milk then can go to premature and other inpatient babies. 3/4 of our milk does that. It goes to babies in the NICU, special care nurseries, and other inpatient units. The other remaining 25% goes to outpatients who, after babies have left the hospital and their moms, they just need a little bit of bridge milk and before their supply comes in, just to even things out.
And tell me a little bit about, I know you there's a new program that you guys have gotten a grant for, for food scarcity in Minnesota. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're trying to address food insecurity. And in Minnesota, pasteurized donor milk is not covered by medical assistance or insurers at this time. The fee is currently at $4.50 an ounce, and that's substantial for families who may not have the resources to be able to do that. So, and that we mentioned before, the fee covers the processing costs to ensure the safety and quality. We are committed to increasing access to donor milk for families where cost is a barrier. So in our second year, we collaborated with the Minnesota Breastfeeding Coalition, another nonprofit, which applied for grants through the Minnesota Department of Health to begin piloting what we call a bridge bag program. And we partnered with North Point Health and Wellness Food Pantry to do this. And as you know, food pantries, they serve families facing food insecurity, and they provide formula. The purpose of this pilot was to provide a way to support breastfeeding families.
Such a great idea.
Yeah. So these are offered to families up to 5 bottles per bag, up to 10 bottles total.
Okay.
For no cost. And they just need to enroll at the food pantry. And in addition to the bags, resources for breastfeeding and lactation support are also provided. So it's not just, here's the milk, good luck. You know,
right.
It's also about where can we help them be as successful as possible. Obviously, they're interested in breastfeeding and providing human milk.
Yeah.
What can we do? And they're in need. They need some help. So we want to make sure that that's available as a resource to these families. So we started this pilot, and then we have another one going with the Division of Indian Work doing something very similar, and they serve Indigenous families. And then we have a third pilot getting going with starting with Olmsted County Public Health Family Home Visiting Program and the WIC program there for families as well.
Yeah, and for the moment, you guys are mostly serving the Twin Cities metro area, but I know that there are also, from talking to you before, there's a pilot who brings milk to like different places in remote areas.
Yeah, so that's another huge part of our program are the volunteers who bring in milk for us from our 29 different depots around the state. We call them the Milk Express.
Yeah.
These couriers are volunteer drivers. They go as far as Duluth, Pipestone, Red Wing, in addition to our metro area depots where approved donors can drop off their milk and bring it in to the milk bank for us to process. If we don't have a volunteer, then we have another resource who we partner with, Angel Flight Central. And they're a nonprofit of volunteer pilots who...
So awesome.
Well, it's amazing. If we don't have a depot close, you know, in the outlying areas, they all have a municipal airport.
Right.
And those are very common. So these pilots will fly to these municipal airports. We make the arrangements and coordination to have the pilot pick up the milk from the donor at this municipal airport, and they'll fly it back to us bring it to the milk bank. If all else fails, if we don't have a volunteer pilot or a courier, we use FedEx Priority Overnight.
Right. Okay.
So we'll send the boxes, the coolers, all the supplies, and a prepaid shipping label to the donors so that they can, send their milk to us.
Yeah. So speaking of volunteers, it feels like this project is sort of driven by a lot of volunteer support, just from what I've seen, and I happen to know some people who are doing some some of the couriering around Minneapolis to hospitals. If someone wants to get involved, I'm sure there's a place on your website, and you kind of have, from what I remember, you have some sort of a list, and so when you're in need, you just kind of do an email blast or something, right? And let people know, like, we've got a lot of delivery needs right now, and people can just sign up that way. Is that how it works?
Yes, on our website there's a place to donate milk and donate funds and donate time. And by doing so, there's a form to fill out in what terms of what interests and availability. They have our couriers, usually are available during the day because who wants to drive through traffic, rush hour. If you have time during the day and a vehicle and you like to drive, we have a lot of those. And, they cycle through and then people will go on vacation and to Florida or Arizona in the wintertime.
A lot of retirees probably involved.
Probably, yes. So it's always good to replenish our cadre of volunteers. This organization was built on the backs of volunteers.
Yeah.
So we have just as many volunteers as we have staff, honestly. So we would not be where we are without their help.
Yeah. And I know you guys are looking to increase the, you need more space at this point. So for anyone who can donate those funds, are you also continuing to get some grant support for this project?
Yes.
It feels like, I love this project so much. It feels like such an essential thing for any community when it comes to like this, just the baseline of health. And I a lot of what I kind of go through with the podcast, I think that, health comes from these, you know, very simple things that we already know, you know, work for us, for, you know, nutrition and mm-hmm. sleep and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it also comes from the community that's you know, being bolstered by these kinds of things too. When you have a community that's well, you know, the area tends to thrive. So this feels like, to me, like going right to the most simple, basic thing that any community needs, which is to start supporting babies and children from their start.
From the start, and give them the best start possible.
Yeah.
And it's evident here where breastfeeding initiation rates are at 90%.
Yeah.
It is the norm. I think families in Minnesota understand the importance and the impact of human milk for human babies.
Yeah.
Yes, we have alternatives that are needed. However, anything we can do to bridge the gaps or help them out for just a little while until their own supplies come in and families figure things out, that's what we're here for. So we've seen tremendous growth in the 3.5 years that we've been open, and we would like to continue to serve more hospitals, more outpatient families, more new families, to add more depot collection sites around the state and distribution sites in Minnesota and the surrounding areas. Our mission is to serve Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. And in order to do that, we need a larger facility that can house more lab equipment, freezers, staff. We have quickly outgrown our starter facility in addition to having a non-renewable lease here. So we have to move.
Oh, we do. Okay.
Yeah. So we're looking for a larger site in the metro area because the vast majority of our milk goes to hospitals in this area.
Yeah.
And we are raising funds to assist with the cost of moving and expanding.
Yeah. And we're going to have a bunch of video footage up for anyone who's interested in seeing what's going on here. I was fortunate enough to be walked around and shown the whole facility. It's my second time here, but yeah. so great. And thank you for taking the time to do this with me and for inviting me to come and witness what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thanks, Linda. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Minnesota Breast Milk Bank. What a great project. Could there be a more potent health solution than making sure our children are well-nourished from day one? One of the most nutrient-complete substances on the planet, mother's milk, should be something available to everyone. After meeting with Linda and her crew, I couldn't help but think about how cost-effective this form of medicine is and how accessible it is as a solution. 30 facilities in North America feels dreadfully low. My hope is that this inspires more communities to fundraise and lobby to have access to a breast milk bank near you. If you are in the Midwest and would like to see this project continue to thrive and grow, consider donating money or volunteering your time by going to mnmilkbank.org, and you'll find a link to this in your show notes. Let me know what you thought of this topic and episode. You can reach out to me directly anytime at jeremy@highway2.health. And please check out the video that accompanies this podcast at Highway to Health Podcast Channel on YouTube. Thanks for listening and for all that you do. Be good to yourself, be kind to each other, and take care of your planet. Be well, my friends.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Beyond the Paper Gown, hosted by Dr. Mitzi Crocover, helps people think critically about women's health issues, encouraging them to question and explore the complexities of healthcare systems, scientific advancements, and societal norms. There's a really cool episode that you should check out called Midday Menopause App, and that's about how AI and sensor technology can provide personalized interventions to manage menopause symptoms effectively. Check out Beyond the Paper Gown on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.